Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Matt Leon, Neil Kulong today. We talk about the National Football League. Dan Dierdorf and Jim Brandstetter from the Michigan Network tomorrow. Jack Hamm, Derek Williams, Dick Girardi from the Penn State Network on Thursday. And it looks like, oh, we got Doug Kazarian from ESPN today as well, from ESPN Radio Game Day. And it looks like we actually might be, and I'll have the answer on this tomorrow, but on Friday's show, if everything falls into place, and we think it's going to, Kirk Herbstreit. So there you go. Oh, and I forgot the suit's on Wednesday.
Tomorrow, yes. You save the best for, well, maybe not.
Look, they always tell you, like, leave them wanting more.
Is that it? Okay. Shed some light, Obi-Wan.
So you know, as the time goes on the show, you're getting bolder. and you're the one that's coming up with all the really good one-liners.
Well, the jail reference, yeah. The jail reference set the tone. That could have been a mic drop. I probably just should have just walked out for the rest of the show.
Absolutely. That, in the 6 years of the show, that is the single best line on the show. Now, Shed Some Light, Obi-Wan is actually pretty close.
I mean, just like you, point. I didn't think I didn't have that waiting in the wings to use all day long. I just thought of that. So you're inspiring me. I got to be careful though. From now, I'm getting to the point where I may get a little overconfident and just walk in and try to do game night on the fly. I can't do that.
All you have to, any time that you're worried you may be going slightly off the rails, come back to a suit reference, and then it brings suddenly the low hanging fruit.
I can see clearly now. The rain is gone.
Well, of course you can see clearly because you see what they see. Yes, you're sitting back, you hear a play like that and the way it's called, and you ask yourself, what was more important, the fact that the player saw it or that you saw it? Just wondering. Now, tomorrow is the Bucknell Football Luncheon.
It is at noon at Maddie's, just off Route 15, Lewisburg. So if you're at or near Lewisburg, you're more than welcome to drop by. $10, great lunch. Joe Susan will bring some select football players along. We'll talk about the big win over Cornell over the weekend. And, of course, Joe's already had that in the rearview mirror since, what, about 4:30 last Saturday?
Yeah.
He's already been prep mode for Lafayette. Yeah. So we'll start to get a feel on Lafayette from coach in person tomorrow at Maddie's. But stop by. Great spot.
That'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that very much. The question will be, now you'll be there.
Fingers crossed, everything goes to schedule tomorrow. I will be there. Yeah.
Doug, and everyone knows I think the world of Doug.
Yeah, Doug stopped in the building today for a little while, working on some basketball audio that we'll be using over the next few months.
We need to get Doug on the show at some point. Maybe 2 weeks where we can talk football and preview basketball. What do you think?
God, he's a hard guy to get a hold of. Oh, wait, I can just text him. Sorry.
Or when you see him at Maddie's, you can maybe mention it to him.
Done deal.
And then the question will be, is the crowd at Maddie's graced for a second straight week by the analyst?
Hmm. That's a good question. Not sure.
I didn't say a good question. It's just a question.
Okay.
I'm not that concerned.
I'll text him and ask him, are you going tomorrow?
Oh, no. Don't text him.
Okay.
No, don't do that. Okay. Let's just see if our little guy has grown and on his own goes.
Okay.
We may find that maturity has set in, and he realizes as the analyst for Bucknell football that he should take more pride in the job. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
All right. The Yankees will play the Astros. Game 4 is this evening at 5. First pitch at 5:08 on Fox Sports 1. Yankees won 8-1 last night. Ty Frazier hit the weirdest home run I've ever seen in my life. Did you see the home run he hit?
I did.
Hey, now, Charlie Morton, if you're his time with the Phillies is irrelevant. His time with the Pirates is relevant because Pirate fans, he has no fans. He always had that bad inning, which just would drive Pirate fans nuts. He throws a pitch to Todd Frazier that has great, not good, great movement on it, down and away. And Frazier reaches out as if he's slapping it to right field for a base hit. And he reaches down and slaps at it, and he keeps going, and it's out. I've never seen a ball do that. It looked like he was just trying to go with the pitch and slap it to right field, get the runner to third. It's a 3-run homer. They won 8-1 last night. Aaron Judge, by the way, also homered last night for the Yankees. A pair of 3-run homers, in fact, last night. One by Frazier and one by, of course, Aaron Judge. So that is that's the story on this one coming up. And then that it's going to be Lance McCullers and Sonny Gray. McCullers for Houston and Sonny Gray for the Yankees. And game number 3 is coming up between the Cubs and the Dodgers. That's Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Cubs, and Yu Darvish is going to go for the Dodgers. And that's the night game. That's on TBS. So the Yankee-Astros game's on Fox Sports 1. The Cubs-Dodgers game's on TBS. It's a doubleheader. Monday Night Football overnight ratings. Lowest yet, 6.1. Last night, the Titans won it over the Colts, rallying the fourth quarter to win it 36-19. But 6.1. Now, there's that big meeting between the players and the owners today. Look, they've got a problem here. Hey, we can sit there and we can debate all we want about freedom of speech and Colin Kaepernick and so forth. But as a business, the NFL's got a problem right now. I mean, as a business, they've got a problem. They've got people looking at their business and saying, I mean, CBS has had to revise its earnings estimate for the third quarter. Why? Because of the NFL. They're down 17% on ratings. NBC's hanging in there with theirs. I believe Fox, in some markets, down 20%. Have you seen pictures of the stadiums before games, Sean? You have some either fashionably late-arriving people or a lot of people cleverly disguised as empty seats.
I will admit, though, last night was, out of all the Monday night football games so far this season, I watched more of last night's game than any of them. Just, tight throughout, other than, the fourth quarter when Tennessee pulled away. But it doesn't have the pop and sizzle like you'd have with, Marcus Mariota versus Andrew Luck.
Right, and they lost that part of it. There's no question about that. I mean, having Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, while he's done an admirable job filling in, it's not Andrew Luck. So you're losing the star power there. So that is an issue. But, I mean, there's got to be some honest conversation between the players and the owners here, where the owners need to listen to the players and what their needs are. Oh, and by the way, as a business, the players need to listen to what the owners have to say, too. It's got to be a two-way street. This cannot be a one-way conversation. They've got to ask themselves, why is my product, which has been so popular, why is my product stalling? And why is it that people are not as enamored as 2 or 3 years ago in my product? Why? 17% is not a small number, Sean. 17% is a big number.
I think you combine that too with a lot of star power players are gone for the year. J.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That definitely doesn't help the cause. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, but all this stuff, Watt happened a couple weeks ago. The stuff with Rodgers and Beckham just happened. This 17% drops for the season. We're going into week 7 here. They showed Watt running out of that tunnel on that Sunday night game and watching everybody go insane, insane, insane. He did more to help the image of the NFL than anybody because of what he did with his disaster relief in Houston. He did more than anybody. And that's not to say that, for example, let's take Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins puts his fist up before every game. Okay? I believe that's his form of protest. But Malcolm Jenkins is out in neighborhoods all the time. Doug Baldwin of Seattle, who's very, very upfront, is actually out in neighborhoods all the time. So the NFL's got to figure out a way here. Talk to the players about, we've got to get people understanding all the stuff you're doing in the community. Because this isn't just lip service for Malcolm Jenkins and Doug Baldwin. It's not lip service. They're out there doing things. I admire that. Now let's go the other way. Okay? The players also have to realize that part of the business is making sure people want to see their game. Remember that old thing about, Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBA Players Association 2 years ago, I think she walked back some of this. Like, no players, no game. All right? Well, here's one for you. No owners, no game. No players, no game. Oh, and above all, you can have owners and players, but there are no fans, there is no game. Everybody needs somebody in this. The owners need the players. The players don't get paid unless they have owners. And neither one has jobs if there are no fans. There aren't any owners or aren't any players without fans. So they've got to figure out a way to get out the good word on the good work that they're doing to be a part of the respective communities. Remember in the 70s and 80s? One of the areas where I thought the NFL struck a slice of gold with fans, and I think it under the category didn't hurt your fan base. Remember the United Way campaign? Right? Each team had a United Way representative. And they'd come on, look into the camera, talk about being a part of the United Way. And then they'd show whatever community project, or Mel Blunt, what he did. Things like that. Every team had one of those. And that was a great campaign that they had. They need to get back. You're seeing a little bit of it, but they need to get back to that. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Matt Leon on the Eagles next half hour. 4:06, Neil Kulong on the Steelers. Then we'll shift gears to college football. Doug Kazarian of ESPN Radio Game Day is going to join us. He'll be here in State College because Radio Game Day is coming here as well for their seven-hour program on Saturday. So we'll get a chance to talk with Doug. And I mentioned that for Friday, the door might be open. Let's see. Tomorrow we've got Dan Dierdorf. Well, let's do this in order. We got our great announcers that do all of our games on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. They're on tomorrow to preview the weekend games. Then Dan Dierdorf's at 4:06 tomorrow, and Jim Brandstetter at 4:35. On Thursday, Jack Hamm. It's going to be Rich Scarcella at 3:15. It's going to be Dick Girardi at 3:35, Jack Hamm at 4:06, and Derek Williams at 4:35. Then on Friday, I won't have this confirmed till tomorrow, so I apologize, but we have a looks like a better than 50-50 shot now at Kirk Herbstreit being on the show. And Trevor Maddich. We're just a little old show in the middle of central Pennsylvania. But Sean kept saying, I think we can. I think we can.
Got to up my game. We're trying.
Up your game? How much more do you need to up your game? The only way you can up your game now is by going into digital sales.
It's only a few steps away. Hang a left. from where I'm at now. From where I'm at now. So. It's as closer than you think.
It better not be, brother.
We'll
I need
stay,
you.
We'll stay over here. I'm staying
it
over here.
It better not be, brother. I need you. All right? So this show is just taking up airspace if you're not here.
I mean, physical space-wise, it's closer than you think. It's my intentions. You know what I meant.
Hopefully. Yes, I know what you mean. It's because we've noticed somebody walks down the hall, spends more time on his show than he actually does in a sales meeting.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Getting excited for Penn State, Michigan, Saturday night, 7:30. Of course, 6 o'clock be the airtime with Steve, Jack, and, of course, Roger Corey, Derek Williams here on WKOK. The great thing is we don't have to wait till Saturday night to hear from Jack and Derek. They're going to join us here on the show on Thursday. So if you've had a Penn State question you've been meaning to ask Steve, you can always zip us an email. Our email inbox available anytime, stevejones@wkok.com.
Yeah, they can call, too.
They
could call up. The old days when the other producer was there and just would ignore people. unless they're asking about IndyCar, they're over. Do you have an IndyCar question? No. I want to talk football. We're out of time. So what is it? Sugar, let me have what? Loyal Sock this week?
Got Loyal Sock on Friday night. Their quarterback played really well last Friday night against Bloomsburg. Now, Bloomsburg is going to be heading to Lewisburg. That'll be senior night Friday night at Christie. Mm-hmm. And that'll be on 100.9 The Valley.
Go ahead.
Oh, Seawinds Grove, their final two regular season games will be at home. They've got Mount Carmel, but they can't look ahead. Southern Columbia will be at Seawinds Grove next Friday night.
So yeah.
I know that's going to be on a lot of people's radar, especially for quite a few people will be there first to see highly touted sophomore wide receiver Julian Fleming for the Tigers. But that's next Friday. But Southern Columbia next week, Mount Carmel this week for the Seals.
Has the open been written for the Shikellamy game?
I don't think it has been.
Is it going to be produced the music? Or?
I figured I would get a last-ditch request for help maybe about 2:30 on Friday. That's usually
that early? That early? I've got this idea.
I'm sure you do.
I got a lot of ideas, too. None of them had anything to do with you. All right. The Eagles are rolling. They are rolling. So let's bring in Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, this is some opening run. They're in great shape right now in this thing.
Yeah, things have escalated quickly here.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only escalated quickly there, but then unfortunately, and I do mean unfortunately for the game of football, de-escalated quickly in Green Bay, which I would have put my money on as the best team in the NFC. Not anymore.
Yeah, no, that changes the dynamic completely when they lose Aaron Rodgers like that. And you just saw how an offense that still has Jordy Nelson, still has Randall Cobb, still has Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery, and all of a sudden became really a non-functioning entity against Minnesota when Brett Hundley took over. I mean, it's a little unfair to throw a young quarterback like that into that situation with no first-team reps and stuff like that, but this changes the dynamic completely in the NFC. As the Eagles, I think, have vaulted right to the top as far as teams to beat.
Let's get to the Eagles' defense first. I'll tell you the one area that really impressed me above all on Thursday night. They got pressure on Cam Newton with four. They didn't have to blitz. What has that meant schematically for what Jim Schwartz wants to do with that defense?
Well, it's allowed him to have some help for the young cornerbacks, which is really was the weakness coming into this season.
That's right.
Especially when Ronald Darby went down in week one with that ankle injury. They've been going with guys like Jalen Mills, Rasul Douglas, Patrick Robinson, and they've made a ton of plays because they haven't had to be put on an island quite as much. But specifically, it was just huge to get Fletcher Cox back in that game against Carolina. He'd missed the last couple games with a calf injury. It was really a literal game-time decision on Thursday. They said he was going to be able to go, and he wasn't just out there. He was a force, blowing up plays. The first turnover he forced when he hit Cam Newton's arm and caused an interception. And when you can just get, you know, they were able to rotate defensive linemen in, and you can just get the front four beating up on an offensive line and getting pressure, it just makes everything else defensively make sense. So if that trend can continue, and given the personnel, there's no reason to think it can't. That's really, really big here going forward.
What kind of domino effect does he have on the rest of the defensive line?
Well, it's him, and it's also Tim Jernigan, having him for the first year and having the two of them together. One of the reasons that the Eagles were able to have success the two games that Fletcher Cox missed was because of what Tim Jernigan's able to do, create chaos in the middle of that line, take up space, not just take up space, also make plays off of that. And you put the two of them together, just makes life miserable for the interior of an offensive line. And then you've got guys like Brandon Graham, who's been great coming off the edge, and Vinny Curry, who's played much better this season after being kind of MIA last year after signing a big contract. It's really, really been key.
The efficiency of Carson Wentz, what has impressed you?
I think it's that where I think you just watch him play, and he doesn't put up maybe the gaudy stat lines that some of the other quarterbacks do. But you just watch him play, and everything that happens you feel like is what's supposed to happen. He's consistently under control, doesn't make a lot of bad decisions. The third is maybe at his best on third downs, obviously has the huddle, leads the team, and he's really just, it's amazing. You have to kind of remind yourself that he's only made, you know, what is it now, 22 starts as an NFL quarterback, because he plays much older than that, much more experienced than that. There's really a lot to like, but I think the way he handles third downs and how he's been able to keep drives alive with Keith, and not just third and one and third and twos. You know, they convert more than their fair share of third and nines, third and 11s, and they do it with his accuracy and keeping plays alive with his feet. He's not necessarily a scrambler, but he's a guy that can slide in the pocket, give himself an extra second and a half, and wait for that guy to break open late.
All right. Success breeds success. Losing breeds losing. When you either hear Doug Peterson or you hear any of the players, are you starting to sense that they understand success breeds success?
Oh, no question about it. I think, you know, this was a team that I think felt had improved from a year ago, but you weren't sure. And I really think we're going to look back, and I think we can already look back, that Jake Elliott field goal, that 61-yarder to beat the Giants in week three. I mean, as crazy as a kick as it was, kind of look at that moment and look where the Eagles have gone and where the Giants have gone since then. I know the Giants came back big last night and won, but I mean, that was a moment that the Eagles believed they could find ways to win, and I think the Giants figured they're going to find ways to lose. And it really just kind of, like you said, you know, all of a sudden, a tie game later, up five or down five, I think the Eagles as a team think, you know, all right, we got this, we're gonna find a way. Whereas maybe last year, after the 3-0 start, when they lost, you know, 9 of 10 games, there was probably a lot of, okay, here we go again, first time like a tip ball was picked or something like that. And it's really, I think you have that type of mentality in every sport, but I think it is magnified in the NFL because of the limited number of games where you can literally point to a single play, and I'll point to that, the Elliott field goal again, mm-hmm. as kind of the flashpoint where things really start to take off.
Now that we're six games into this and the Eagles are 5-1, it's now given us at least a blueprint of what we're the several teams in the league happen to be. With that in mind, how do you like the setup for the next month, schedule-wise, for the Eagles?
Well, they basically have a mini bye here after playing on the Thursday. They're not going to come back to practice probably till this coming Thursday. And then they've got Washington at home on Monday. They've got three straight home games. That's another kind of thing that has been talked about a lot. Eagles are 5-1. Four of the six have been on the road.
That's right. Yeah,
you know,
I asked you about that last week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they are very back heavy with home games, and the next three are home. And you know, if you put yourself in a position now where if they can beat Washington, for instance, it's going to be very hard for them to lose the division if they win that game Monday. You know, I'm not saying you're clinching anything week nine or whatever, but all of a sudden you're going to be 3-0 in the division. You're going to own the total tiebreaker over Washington, who at this point seems to be the second, third best team in the division. You're going to be undefeated in the conference. You're going to all of a sudden hold a stack of cards as far as tiebreakers are concerned. And, you know, in week seven, and tiebreakers are going to be very hard to pry away from you. And that's going to be really big. And then you got a game with the Niners. That should be, you know, a very winnable game. I think things have set up here well. I think they've done, there's still a lot of football to be played, but they've done a lot of work here in the first month and a half to make their life as easy as possible going forward.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll shift gears to the Steelers in the next half hour, and Doug Kazarian from ESPN Radio Game Day is going to join us in the final half hour. Coming up Thursday, Jack Ham, Derek Williams, Dick Girardi, Rich Scarcella. Friday, Well, we got possibly Kirk Herbstreit on Friday, and it looks like we might have Trevor Maddich on Friday. Coming up tomorrow, Dan Dierdorf and Jim Brandstetter. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KO Routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia is in need of used SUVs and pickup trucks. If you have a used SUV or pickup truck of any brand or any miles, Sunbury Motors Kia will give you more than ever before on your next new Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia has 21 2018 Kia Sorentos starting at $24,999. Sunbury Motors Kia will give you more for your trade than ever before on your next new Sorento. Brand new Kia Souls sell elsewhere for $19,200. Not at Sunbury Motors Kia. 2017 sold start at $15,996. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. If you're looking for the most money for your trade, Sunbury Motors Kia has been given the green light to overvalue your current vehicle to trade up to a brand new Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Great to have you with us on the show today. We're your home for Penn State football, Shikellamy football, Phillies baseball, and from time to time, when need be, for comic relief, the soup.
Stop laughing.
Balance. Man. Balance.
No, there's no balance there. That's what makes him, that's what makes him so entertaining. Remember what I said last week about him? I said he is a perfectionist. And because he is a perfectionist, it allows him to be really, really good at his job. Right?
Right.
I said that.
You did.
And also as a perfectionist, it also makes him his perfect comic relief on the show. Like, because last week he did the open for the football game. And he did, a great job on it. There's only one little part I would have changed in it. Okay. I thought he could have finished. I thought the finish that on the one we played in the air could have been a little stronger, that last part that leads right in. Everything else was perfect. And he got so wrapped up that he changed the music. The game is at 6:30, okay? It's 5:15 now. Okay? The audience doesn't know, you know, what your definition of perfect is. It's all right.
It's like, oh, I liked your idea better. It was like, well, you could have used that in the first place, and instead of doubling your work,
you could have started there.
I wanted to listen to both and contrast and compare. It's game day.
Yeah. Okay. There's 3.5 hours of broadcast after this part. How long was that? 2 minutes.
A minute and a half. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a minute and a half. Right, and you picked Tom Petty, right?
I chose The Waiting from Tom Petty.
Hmm.
And how ironic! Nice. I think last night I was watching FS1 last night, and it was after the Aaron Judge home run. What were they playing going to commercial break? The Waiting.
Yeah, The Waiting by Tom Petty. Yeah, very clairvoyant. So we're anxious to find out this week. We should do a poll. Does the open influence whether you'll listen or not? That's some open. I think I'll listen. I mean, I could open the game with anything on Friday, on Saturday night. And because Penn State's playing Michigan, people are still going to listen.
It's not going to take much. Built-in energy, built-in anticipation, excitement.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of it. That's why we have the guests that we have on this week. We're just trying to give everybody, as complete, with Jack and Derek, you'll get the Penn State side of it. Rich Scarselli get the Penn State side. Now, Dick Girardi, we're going to talk some basketball, too, because obviously there's still a lot going on with that. And media days are coming up. Let's see. Tomorrow is Big East Media Day in New York. And Thursday is Big Ten Media Day at Madison Square Garden. So obviously, between 10 Big East coaches and 14 Big Ten coaches, there's going to be a lot going discussion about the current scandal in college basketball. So we'll talk to Dick about that on Thursday. But we've got Penn State with Ritz Carcella, Derek Williams, Jack Ham. Jack will be 4:06 on Thursday. Michigan with Dan Dierdorf and Jim Brandstetter. And then a national viewpoint from Trevor Maddich. I'll say maybe Kirk Herbstreit, although I'm feeling pretty good about it. And Doug Kazarian today. So we're just trying to attack it from every angle that we can with this. Now, because of that, because of what we're doing with Thursday's show, because Jack, Derek, and Dick all could do Thursday, and I thought it was important to get them on, I want to thank our announcers ahead of time because they're all shifting their schedules to do tomorrow's show to preview the high school games for Friday. And I can't thank them enough. Every time we've asked them to make a move here or there, they've been terrific. So we appreciate that very much. Did we get confirmed? Is the Shikellamy guy going to do the show tomorrow?
Far as I know. I've not heard anything differently.
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I know it doesn't, but I had to answer with something.
Oh, geez. I just got a text from the suit. What should have changed at the end?
Yeah, but you said that. No,
I know I did, but he texted me.
Nothing. Just an emphasis on a specific couple
right.
of words. Yeah, there wasn't
another,
any change of script.
Words, no change of script. He needed to hit. Who are they playing? Mifflinburg?
Yes.
Yeah, it should have been a harder close. He said, Shikellamy, Mifflinburg, next on WKOK. That was the only part. He was a little flat.
Just a little more punch.
Right, more punch at the end just as part of the big buildup. I mean, that's the perfectionist. He's texting me now. It's like, I mean, I want to change numbers. I mean, I know I'd have to give it to a bunch of people, but it would cut down on some of the clutter this week.
Oh, he just texted me, too. Oh, boy.
Right.
Playoff week one, his write-up will be go big or go home. You're skipping last two games.
He says, oh, good call. I'll fix that next time. I mean, in other words, he does this, like, the great piece. And the ending is fine, except if you're building to something big, you need to then close big. That was the only thing I was trying to tell him. You need to close big. You know, it can't be, and I'm not, this is not how he did it, but you can't be, and Shikellamy and Mifflinburg is next. All right, it can't be like that. Now, he didn't do it that way.
No, he didn't.
Okay?
No.
But it also was not of the same level. It was actually an octave down from the lead-in. And you can hear that. So what you need to is you had to do the lead-in, boom. Then if there's a dramatic piece of music, which he timed it out perfectly.
He did.
Then he needs to come back. He goes, Shikellamy goes for the title next against Mifflinburg. It's on WKOK. You know, something like that. Like, boom, big, bold.
I kind of compare this to my Sloppy Joe recipe, which I had for dinner last night. I add a couple of drops of Tabasco. Just a couple. But you can tell the difference. Just adds a little punch.
Kick.
Little kick. Little kick.
He needs a little kick there at the end. That's all, you know. All right. So, I mean, that's what, you know, in other words, when I talk about in class, this is what I talk about. In other words, this isn't like an overhaul. I talk to them about what can you tweak. So that was a brilliant job. If he tweaks that part, I think it's even better.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.